Amen. Our reading is taken from First John chapter 4, starting at verse number 4. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Little children, you are from God and have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Amen. All right. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor. You got a choice. You can grab him by the hand, or you can just look him square in the eye. Amen. It's a choice. You can grab him by the hand, but everybody got to find a neighbor. Find a neighbor. Find a neighbor. Find a neighbor. Look at him square in the eye. You don't have to hold him by the hand, but look at him square in the eye and say to your neighbor, "Neighbor, from ordinary to extraordinary. Neighbor, from ordinary to extraordinary." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this day, "From Ordinary to Extraordinary." I think the reason why Christians have not reached their full potential is because we maintain a status of ordinary. God is telling us we are to be extraordinary. But what has happened to us is that sometimes we've attempted to cheat the process. And in cheating the process, we cannot become extraordinary. And since we have cheated the process and have not been able to see the fruits of the labor, we stop. But we have to now reassess ourselves and ask ourselves, have I truly made the effort to walk the walk and talk the talk? Or was I trying to sneak in or be where I wanted to be rather than seeing, is that where God is calling me to be? And I think because we have looked at it from that perspective, we have to know that whatever we do, it impacts us. And whatever you do has an impact on the church as a whole, because we collectively make up Broad Rock. And if we as Broad Rock are in some ways cheating the process, it won't allow Broad Rock to reach its full potential. So in order for us to truly do according to the will of the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit, it allows us to reach our full potential. Every child of God has potential. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, he's talking about you. Because you have potential." Are you hearing what I'm saying, y'all? Every child of God has potential. And if what we tend to do is say, "Oh, well, I'm old now." No, they ain't got nothing to do with potential. If he called Abraham at 75 and Moses at 80, he can still call you. Still use you. And if we are willing to be used, God can do the extraordinary. But what I want us to do is I want us to look at the writer of this epistle. The writer of this epistle is John. John was probably the youngest disciple of the 12 that Jesus had. And John and James were on the boat with their father Zebedee. And we see that Jesus came by and told them, come, follow me. And they followed him. And he told them, as he told the other fishermen, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, we have to see that, Deacon Elwood, prior to Jesus' interaction with John, he was ordinary. When I say ordinary, he was just like us. Ordinary. Just going about our daily lives, making the ends meet, doing whatever we could to keep our heads above water. And I want you to know he was not of the upper echelon. He was not born with that quote-unquote silver spoon in his mouth. He had to get out every day, throw those nets out, drag those fish in order to keep it going. And they were common folk. He was not the most educated. He wasn't a Pharisee or a scribe. He was just a brother who knew how to catch fish in the net with his father and his brother. And on top of that, we're seeing that when Jesus looked at him and looked at all the others that he called, they saw themselves as ordinary, but the Lord saw something extraordinary in each and every one of them. And because he saw something extraordinary in them, he brought them with him. They saw him take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000. They saw him give sight to the blind, lame to walk. They saw him get Lazarus up out the tomb, who had been dead for 4 days. They saw Jesus in the boat say, peace and be still. The wind and the waves all listened to him. They saw Jesus do the extraordinary because he was extraordinary. And he told them, greater things than these you shall do. So in all actuality, Jesus said, I am extraordinary. And since you are my followers, you also will be Reverend Rhodes what?
Extraordinary.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Amen. So from that, we see that they saw Jesus crucified. And John, Reverend Worthy, was right next to Jesus' mother while he was being crucified. When Jesus looked at Mary and said, woman, behold thy son. And he said to John, behold thy mother, meaning that, bruh, look out for my mother. Treat her like you would your own mother. And once it was over, he said, it is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. They all saw him die on the cross. After all the extraordinary things he had done, they saw he was now what? Dead. They saw his body wrapped and placed in the tomb on a Friday evening. They were distraught Friday night. They were still shook up Saturday night. But Mary Magdalene and a few other sisters went with her out to the tomb to just prepare his body. But when they got there, Sister Worthy, I want you to know, they saw the stone was rolled away. And Mary Magdalene received word that he is not dead, but he is risen. And girlfriend ran back to where the disciples were and told them. And guess who jumped up real quick? John. The youngster, he started running to the tomb. Peter was trying to keep up with him, but just couldn't keep up with him. But he was going. He ain't stopped. And interesting though, when John got to the tomb, Deacon Wiley, he stopped. But Peter said, "I didn't come too far to stop now." And he slid in there and saw he wasn't there, and they realized that, well, maybe Mary Magdalene knows what she's talking about. He ain't here, but we don't know where he is. But Deacon Allen's later on that day, Jesus showed up right where they were to let them know the one who has been extraordinary is still extraordinary. And that which was killed is now been what? Made alive. And they had something to rejoice about. And Jesus hung out with them for 40 days. And then as he was about to ascend to heaven, he told them, listen, y'all stay in Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't go nowhere until the Holy Spirit fills you while you are in Jerusalem. And while the 120 were in that upper room, we see that they were praying. And as they were together, we see that the Spirit Spirit came upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And don't you know they weren't ordinary no more? They were now what? Extraordinary, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were anointed and they were appointed, and they were truly about their Father's business. Brothers who used to do nothing but catch fish, now they're out there catching men. I'm telling you, the Lord can take an ordinary and make it what? Extraordinary. Isn't that what he did with John? He took him from ordinary to what? But hold on, the plot thickens. The way the plot thickens, Sister Mormon, is this. Once they went out to proclaim the gospel, they would go to various places teaching and preaching, and people would embrace Jesus Christ. And as they embraced Christ, they would instruct the people on what to do to continue to keep the fire burning. But don't you know, when you are about our Father's business, there's always that element that's hiding out, looking at what you're doing, waiting for the opportunity to see when they can attack. And what happened is that the churches were being attacked, same by folk who said they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were lying to folk, and they weren't proclaiming Jesus Christ. Because if you go back and read the beginning of this chapter, because we're seeing that this chapter was written by somebody who was ordinary and then became what? Extraordinary. So what John is sharing with them is that you are no longer ordinary. You're now what? Extraordinary. And he was telling them that anybody comes around you talking about they're filled with the Spirit, you better test that spirit to see if that spirit is of God. And every spirit that is of God is going to confess Jesus Christ, and not just with their mouths, but through their walk. You can see it all over them. You can see it all in their lives. You see, folk were trying to hoodwink people back then, and guess what? Folk today are still trying to hoodwink people, trying to tell them that they are the Lord's, but their walk and their talk is not consistent with what the Word of God is saying. So we're able, that's why we got to test the Spirit. And he said, though, that is this. You ain't got to be afraid of them. You know why you ain't got to be afraid of him? Because you got to know who you are. You got to know what you got. You got to know what you're working with. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you know what you're working with? You see, my brothers and my sisters, that's a big thing for us to understand. Because until we can know what we're working with, so many of us are walking around ordinary when God tells us that we are already what? Extraordinary. Because we haven't fully understand what we are what? Working with. And the reason why we don't understand what we're working with is because we've been trying to cheat the process. You cannot become extraordinary if you're going to cheat the process. You are going to remain. So what is happening here is that we're seeing that John is written this epistle. This is called a general epistle, Nicole, for the sole purpose is that it wasn't specifically written for a church. It was written for all Christians, so that the Christians could know this letter is to be taken and passed out and passed around, so that all Christians can know that you got to test the Spirit by the Spirit and see what the Spirit is truly confessing Christ. And if it's not, then that's the Antichrist, which means that they are against you. They're not with you. All they're trying to do is divide you. All they're trying to do is get you mad at one another. All they're trying to do is get to see why y'all are all different, to understand what is going on, that there is no harmony, because they don't want harmony. They want chaos. They want anger. They want bitterness. They want frustration, but thank God that ain't happening today. Thank God that ain't happening today. Are y'all working with me? So what John is about to do is share with us, as he shared with them about verse number 4. What he says to them is, little children. It's a term of endearment, letting them know that you're God's children. Letting them know that you're near and dear, and that I care for you, because of the fact that some of y'all, or some of the folk who I proclaim the gospel to, are now, you are in the ministry. You are now a child of God. And what we're seeing is that he's saying it is a term of endearment, letting them know I love you and I care about you. Then he goes on to say, something that we got to all understand. You are from God. Do you see it, y'all? We are from God. Wait a minute. I know who my mama and daddy is. I know where I was raised. How did God get in the picture? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, because once you gave your life to Jesus, old things were what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That I am no longer just Kevin Cook. I am now anointed and appointed because I am a child of God. I am part of the holy family. I have been adopted in the family because I've been covered in the blood of the Lamb. And that's not just my story. That's every story of every child of God that gave their life to Christ, that you are now from God. Because from now on, what I do is let folk know who's the one who woke me up this morning, started me on my way, who's blessing me right now, and his name is. You see, that's letting me let folk know that I am from. Somebody gonna work with me. So when I know where I'm from, there's something else I gotta know. You see, we can't cheat the process. You gotta know who you're from. You gotta know who's invested in you. You got to know who turned your life around. You got to know who heals and delivers you. You got to know who keeps you. You got to know who provides for you. You got to know who makes a way out of no way. You got to know who knocks down walls for you. You got to know who opens doors for you. You got to know who keeps you in your right mind. You got to know why I'm healed, delivered, and set free. So let's go on a little further. Since I'm from God, I like that word and, y'all. And it's telling us we ain't going nowhere but straight. We are continuing on the road we are going on. Right? You are from God and have conquered them. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I ain't a wimp. And neither are you. What is he telling us? You're a conqueror. Not that you can do it by yourself. Because if you could have did it by yourself, Jesus would not have come to pay for us to be an investment. Jesus came because the bill was too big for us. And we were being conquered by sin. We were being dominated by sin. We were being beat down by sin. But by Jesus coming and paying the price for us, Jesus is the one that when we accept him into our lives, we now can conquer the sin, because Jesus has already conquered everything here on earth. And when I accept Christ into my life and I am covered in the blood of the Lamb, that allows me to be able to conquer, because I'm not relying on myself. I'm relying on God, who is the one who gives me the strength and the ability to do all that I do, because I realize on my own I could not win nothing. But now that I have Jesus, I have the victory. Do I got any folk in God's house who know you got the victory? Do I got any folk in God's house who know you are more than a conqueror? Do I got folk in God's house who understand that I've been through hell and high water, but guess what? I am still here. Why? Because I am more than a... Are you hearing me? Don't cheat the process. Know who you are. Know where you come from. And know he's called you to be more than a conqueror. And you know why you're more than a conqueror? All you are a conqueror is what he goes on to say. Because the beginning of this verse, Paulette, he's telling us what we ought to be about. And how we are, I have already won. But just in case we didn't get it, he says, let me make it plain for you, Chardine. For the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. You see, Deacon Jones, if we've been cheating the process, Whenever we are confronted with a storm, we'll run from it rather than run through. Oh. God says storms gonna come, but you ain't gotta be scared of it, because you already got the victory. Just understand the storm ain't gonna take you out. Just continuing to stay with the Lord. Because when you are anchored in the Lord, rather than worthy, when the storm and the rain and the winds come, it can come as much as it want, you ain't going. Oh, somebody working with me. You see, because I understand that I am extraordinary. And since I am extraordinary, I realize that I can make it. You see, my brothers and my sisters, because when I know what I have is in me is greater, what I have in me is the third in the Trinity. What you have in you is the third in the Trinity. Excuse me. You have the Father, you have the Son, and we have the promise of the what? Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, where does it dwell? And since it dwells in me, that's telling me that greater is he that is in than he that is in the, which lets me know that I am no longer ordinary. I don't act ordinary. I don't talk ordinary. I don't walk ordinary. I walk like I am extraordinary. I walk like I am somebody, because I've been healed, delivered, and set free. And I know the Lord brought me this far, and I know the Lord's going to take me all the way, because I know I am extraordinary. I'm supposed to do great things in the name of Jesus. I'm supposed to tell it. I'm supposed to share it. I'm supposed to let my light shine wherever I am. Do I got any folk who ain't ashamed of the light? Do I got any folk that keep their lights on? Because somebody's in darkness, need to find their way home. And the only way they're going to find their way home is they got to see the. You see, Broad Rock, God has taken us places. And in order to get to these places, God has taken us. Reverend Rose, we can't be ordinary no more. We can't cheat the process. We got to do as God is instructing us to do. And as we do as God is instructing us to do, when we all see this rendering a week from tomorrow, I tell you, you can go on and get your shout in when you see it, because you already know it is already here. It might not be up in the building I can walk in right now, but I'm praising God already, because I know it's already here. Because I know I can't just go on and be ordinary. I got to be what? Extraordinary. Because I serve a God who is what? Extraordinary. So God wants the best that I have, because he gave his best for me. Do I got anybody that understands that you are no longer ordinary, but God has made you extraordinary? You got to walk with your head up. It's not that you're perfect. It's not that you don't make mistakes, but you know where to go when things don't go right. You know what to do when you ain't being right, because you know there's nobody but the Lord who can make a way out of no way. Why? Because I'm no longer ordinary. I'm now what? So we need to go on and act like we're extraordinary. We got to walk like we're extraordinary. We got to talk like we're extraordinary, because we serve a God who is. So if the Lord is all that, and we are his children, then we ought to act like his children. I'm not saying walk around all arrogant, like you're all out of bag of chips, two sodas, and a. I'm saying you realize through the humility of who the Lord is in you. He could have left you right where you were, but because of his grace and his mercy, I am who I am. I do what I do. That allows me to be extraordinary, and I'm no longer ordinary. Do I got anybody in God's house who's going to truly operate in the extraordinary of who they are, knowing it's nobody but the Lord who brought me this far, nobody but the Lord that's going to take me all the way, because I recognize who I am, whose I am, and how I got to where I am, and there's nobody but who? Jesus, who made a way for me. So why are we walking around being ordinary? Can I share a story with you? You see, Sister White, there was this man who lived in a house, and he had a couple of ailments, but he could still do everything for himself. And two good saints from Broad Rock went to go see him. And as they were talking to him and praying with him and giving him words of encouragement, and they were checking on him. And they said, is anything that you need? Oh, I'm just hungry. What? Oh, I am hungry. I could eat my shoe right now. I'm so hungry. And they said, what? So they said, all right, well, we're going to go buy you some food, some groceries, and bring them back here to you. And when they said that to him, he kind of went, right? And then they said, wait a minute, before we go buy it, let's see what he has, because he might have a little bit of butter or something. And so that way we don't have to buy what he already has, but he doesn't probably have enough to make a meal. So they go into the kitchen. Sister Wanda, they open the refrigerator. And when they opened that refrigerator, that thing was full of food. They looked at one another, closed the refrigerator, and they were scratching their heads. And they both walked back into the living room where he was. And they said to him, bro, why are you hungry? You're able to move and cook. There's food in there you could be eating. He said, nah. I was telling y'all, so y'all can go get me something that's already prepared for me to eat. And they like looked at one another. Ordinary folks stay hungry. Extraordinary folk open and get what they need because they recognize the resources that are available to them. How many folk are moving around ordinary? When you got the Holy Spirit inside of you just waiting for you to tap in to all that God has for you. But sometimes if all we're waiting on somebody to do is feed me, we're cheating the process. You got to make the effort to also want to feed yourself. As a child of God, you shouldn't always be here waiting for somebody to feed you. You ought to have a devotional life. You ought to be reading your Bible. A good way to start is get the daily bread, read whatever that statement is, and check the scripture out. You can utilize that. That's what I've been doing for years, but you can use something else. But you got to learn how to feed your, all of y'all that raised up babies. For the first year plus, you spend all the time what? And once they knew how to hold that spoon, that rubber spoon, you showed them how to go down and get it and what? And the next step was you was always changing that diaper until you were able to teach them to get potty trained and go for them. So why is it that we're fast to get other folk to do for themselves, but now when we come to church, all we want everybody to do is just... We got to learn how to feed ourselves. We got to learn how to pray. Yes, I'm going to pray for you if you call me. I'm going to come see you. Yes, I will. But what I'm saying is, if you can't get a hold of me, what you going to do? You got to learn how to tap in to what you got. That because you can tap in. Because I know I'm not ordinary. I'm now what? You see, when Jesus came, he took me from to. Now, I want you to know who you are. Act like who you are. Be who you are. Because I want y'all to know Broad Rock, we going places. And I want you to know, God wants us to know when we get over next door, we got to be prepared because we got to be what? But we ain't going to wait till we get there to be. I know I'm already because I know greater is he than he. I ain't going to run from the worldly stuff because what I got inside of me is bigger and better than all the stuff in the world. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand how good our God is, how far our God has brought us, how our God is blessing us? Come on, let's give God some praise. We understand I am extraordinary. I'm going to walk like it. I'm going to talk like it because I know who I am. I am extraordinary because I'm God's in.